My name is Philip Torres, I'm the hearing officer assigned to this matter. We are here today on the 17th day of May 2012 at 2:16 in the afternoon for a pre-hearing conference on appellate case OPA-PA-12-007. Will the representatives of the Office of Public Accountability identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores Brooks, Public Auditor.
Rachel Field, Procurement Appeals Staff.
Franklin Kupiners, Auditor.
Will the parties for the appellant identify themselves and then the institutional representatives for the record?
My name is Benjamin Abrams, Assistant Attorney General, and on my left is the Director of the Department of Administration.
And will the parties for the appellee identify themselves for the record?
Yes. Good afternoon. Jacqueline Terlahi appearing for the appellant, Data Management Resources, LLC.
First question I have is, do the parties wish to have a hearing on this matter?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, we have submitted our request for hearing as well.
We're here today then to identify how we're going to proceed in this matter and to address any issues pertaining to the documents that have been filed so far. What we have is the procurement record, the agency report, the comments on that report, and the rebuttal to the comments. Are there any issues in that regard?
Oh, yes, if I may. At this point, we have also filed a motion for disclosure of certain records that belong to the procurement record of this particular matter. Mr. Abrams and I have been able to work out a schedule with regard to certain disclosures, that there are certain disclosures that have not been made to date. And we have set forth a time schedule that we're hopeful will be approved by the OPA. We have looked at May 31st as a possibility for all disclosures that have not been made as of today's date, and we are looking at a possible status hearing and a motion filing hearing of June 14th. We are requesting the time frame of 2 weeks between the disclosure deadline and the motions and status hearing so that we can have an opportunity, if necessary, to amend the pleadings that have been filed to date.
Okay. Mr. Abrams?
Sir, I have to inform everyone that the procurement record that was submitted is incomplete. We are constantly running across documents that belong in the procurement record for whatever reason didn't make them in there. This is totally unexpected and caught us by surprise because usually we don't face this problem, especially on the scale that we faced it now. Now, some of this is unavoidable. For example, the chief procurement officer just arrived back on island, and we had to take her iPad and actually transfer the contents of the iPad to a copy file so that we could discover what was on there that belonged in the procurement record. One of the key things that was on that iPad that should be in the record is a recording of a 28, correct me if I'm wrong, 28 August 2011 evaluation committee meeting where pricing was discussed. That not only does that have to be provided to Ms. Jalahi, but it also belongs in the procurement record. And there are many other documents. We had a meeting with DOA yesterday, and we discovered, much to our surprise, that items, documents, papers, letters, correspondence in the DOA file were not in the procurement record. So what we did, and what is going on right now, we provided Ms. Montblonda with copies of the procurement record that was already submitted and let her compare that to her files, so that we know that whatever needs to be put in there is going to be the last word on the procurement record. So we're kind of caught in the throes of doing that, and there are things from GAS that have yet to appear in the procurement record. So in the interest of giving the OPA and certainly counsel for the appellant a full informational platform and terms of the procurement record upon which to proceed, not to mention us. We think we can get this done by the 31st of this month. Now, that's a good faith target date, is the best I can say for it. I think Ms. Talahi and myself have more or less understood between ourselves that barring anything unforeseen, that date will be adhered to. But it's not really set in stone because we don't know what might come up that we don't already know about. So that's where we're at.
When I heard Ms. Talahi say, was that you have an agreement to exchange all these documents by the 31st. Is that correct?
Well, as I just said, yes. That's what we expect to do.
Okay. Any other issues?
Well, may I be heard on one more point?
Sure.
It may also be that because of the new inclusions in the procurement record that Ms. Talahi may have comments, you know, that she hasn't already made. So this may also necessarily extend the period before which we'll have a hearing and a motion cutoff date. That's all I want to say.
Who is supposed to keep the official record? Is it DOA or is it the Chief Procurement Officer, GSA? Who is technically the keeper of the entire procurement record?
That would be GAS.
GSA.
GSA, sorry, GSA.
Okay. So the records at DOA are what?
GSA would derive certain portions of the procurement record from DOA, but that portion that was not already generated by GSA themselves. So what we have here is a situation where, for whatever reason, there are still things in the DOA file that are relevant to this solicitation that apparently weren't selected or weren't noticed or didn't make the cut into the procurement record by GAS. Mm-hmm. So we don't know for sure that the documents in the DOA file weren't already with GAS. We're just out of an abundance of caution. We asked DOA yesterday to look at the procurement record, look at their own files that pertain to this solicitation, and make absolutely sure that everything that was in their files made it into the procurement record.
The only reason I'm asking that is because, and this is just a side issue, is that this is not uncommon with the audit. It's kind of like DOA seems to have part of the record, GSA seems to have part of the record, but no one has the complete record.
Well, by the 31st of May, both counsel and the OPA will have a complete record, and I'll see to it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I know from your filings that there have been settlement discussions. Is there any possible settlement in this case?
If I may, Jay. Because of no one wants to embark on serious settlement or accommodation negotiations with less than a full deck. And we met today in a good faith effort to proceed in that direction. However, without a full procurement record, and certainly without Ms. Talahi knowing what went on at all phases of this solicitation, and us too, we really don't think it's of much probative value to try and achieve that at this stage. But we have also agreed that after the 31st, and even before that, as this work in progress develops, we're going to continue to meet probably on a weekly basis to see how close we are to being able to do that.
Well, I guess what I was really asking is the government open to reconsidering its position through settlement discussions?
You know, if I had to answer categorically right now, I'd say definitely not. But between now and the 31st, there would be things that came out, there may be things that come to our attention, which could cause us to retreat from that. But even though I'm saying as of this moment, no, that's not set in stone either. it very much depends on how much else comes to light. There are a lot of strange things that happen in connection with this procurement. Things that I've never seen in my professional involvement with procurement matters, and neither is Mr. Weisenberger. And one of them involves, I'll be frank with you, involves a first counteroffer in late September of last year that appears to be unauthorized and unsupported. And
but that is exactly what the record should fully develop, and that's why, you know, there is a hesitation to go into the merits of this particular matter and the procurement, simply because the position today of the government may be that it's unauthorized, but depending on what the procurement record reveals, that position may reverse.
It's more than just unauthorized. We have to understand the full story on why that counteroffer was made. You know, it may not just be the error of the government, is what I'm saying. It may not just be, there may be more to it than meets the eye. That's about all I'm willing to say right now, because unless we develop the reasons for it, anything I might say now would be unguarded speculation. I don't think that's really appropriate.
The policy of the Office of Approved Auditor is to conduct these matters to trial within 90 days. This appeal is filed on April the 2nd, so 90 days would be July the 2nd. Considering that the record is not complete, then we will agree with your date of May 31 and issue an order that effect from the disclosure of all documents. Also, with motions, the date you suggest is June 14th. We can accept that date for the filing of all motions, and those motions will be heard. Actually, let's make June 8th is the date for the filing of all motions, and motions to be heard on the 17th.
If I may be heard briefly, sure, on that issue. June 8th is five business days from the disclosures, and at this point, depending on what the government provides in the procurement record, so far I'll tell you right now that the records I have for this particular matter are one complete file box. I have maybe 2,000 pages of documents, not including the recordings related to this matter. So if the government produces anything that's nearly even half of what they've already produced to me, because then I'll have to go back and comparatively address what was given to me in the first record, what was not given to me, and determine whether or not that makes any difference to this particular appeal, that a five-day business window is a very short time frame. And that was the reason why we set it out for the 14th. So at the very least, I would have a two-week window of time.
Well, the 14th was the date that you suggested for the motion hearing.
Yes, just for the motion cutoff.
Not the motion hearing,
just the motion cutoff.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's fine. We can do that. And then, so we do the 14th as a cutoff date, and replies 5 days thereafter. And hearing on this matter on the 26th, if it's necessary. With regard to your witnesses, are you that far advanced so you know who your witnesses are?
No, we're not. We have an idea that we're going to have at least, if you count the evaluation committee, that's already six people. So we can identify at the very least six potential witnesses. If you add on my client, who was a participant in the cost negotiation, we're up to seven.
Mr. Abrams?
We're estimating at this point 8 or 9 witnesses.
This is like JFK.
Well, it could be bigger than that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, when I said that we're evaluating why this this counter, first counter offer was made, it looks like a can of worms to me. And, you know, it may even be in excess of the 9 witnesses that I'm thinking about right now. So I would like leave to go beyond that if it's necessary for us to do so. We just really don't know.
I would urge the parties to talk to each other and not supplement, since we already have all the documents that you have. When it comes to exhibits, to just submit or identify from the record what those exhibits will be. And you don't have to, for example, put the whole procurement record back in, but identify those pages that you'll be referring to. If you could do it by stipulation or joint exhibit list, that'd be great. Those items will all be due on July the... So we'll make it July the 2nd.
June. I think you can say July.
Okay, this will be our motion hearing?
A motion hearing.
So the witness list and exhibits on July 2nd. We will deviate from the 90-day rule to reset the matter for hearing on the 17th.
July 16th.
Complete this matter in 3 days.
Because July 21st is a holiday, that means it's going to be on the 20th, so it could have 2 days in September to the
19th. Okay. So July 16th is the start of the hearing, and anticipate 3 days. Those dates work for you?
The 16th to the 19th, yes.
Any other issues you wish to bring before this matter?
Not at this time.
I would like to mention one other matter. Has it been the practice in these procurement appeals to engage in depositions?
No. No, we have not. To my recollection, no one has been deposed and then the record submitted to us.
I didn't think so.
No. We've had witnesses just come. We've done teleconferences for off-island witnesses. I think you might have been present on that on the second appeal with Geese, but we've never had depositions. That's up to the parties if they want to do that.
We'll see. Thank you.
And I'm assuming that if Mr. Abrams wants to conduct depositions, that he will seek a motion to conduct.
Well, we'll talk about it first. Okay. We'd always discuss that.
Sure, not a problem.
Yeah. Most of all, it's always been comments from the witnesses when they're brought in, and that's where we would hear them.
Well, it occurred to me that we could treat the merit hearing as sort of a combination of presentation of evidence and a deposition, too. But that's not always the best way to proceed in a merit hearing. So we'd like to get our discovery out of the way. But I'll tell you this much. Ms. July is a pleasure with whom to work. We have been very open with each other and very accommodating. And I'm delighted to say that we foresee more of the same.
So no further issues, and this hearing is adjourned. It is 237.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh.